my friends. The president of the Czech Republic has said it. Ron Paul has said it. Lord Christopher Monckton has broken it down on record. If you study the Club of Rome, the UN, Al Gore, all of these groups, they openly admit they want a global, authoritarian, environmentally backed and based tyranny. And now because the world is waking up to their fraud, they are all over the news every day saying, we don't care what you want. We don't care what you stand for. We don't care what you do. We don't care how much fraud we get caught in. We now want an authoritarian system to enforce carbon rationing, literally taxing you for breathing. You exhale carbon. And we are going to force this on you one way or another. And they're openly coming out and saying they want to restrict our criticism of them. This is bona fide, out in the open, oppression. Bona fide tyranny. And Paul Watson has got a report that is set to be published very, very soon at prisonplanet.com today that I worked on with him this morning. And as soon as it goes up in the third hour, I'm going to read over it. But what they're doing is really pretty simple. They're creating artificial scarcity. You know, diamonds are semi-precious, but because they're geographically isolated, a cartel has been formed, known as De Beers, where they're able to keep the price incredibly high. Well, if they start taxing and regulating, and government has the power to decide who's allowed to have a factory, who's allowed to have a business, and they put huge cost on carbon, that is more than artificial scarcity. It puts a tax on the life cycle of this planet. And it's over every facet of our lives. It controls every area. And it is designed, in the words of Maurice Strong at the UN and Ted Turner and Prince Philip and the head of NASA climate, to, quote, end industrialized society. But they mean end industrialized society for the general public. You will have reservations of government slash mega corporate technological systems that will be under global, national, international security that will be kept from the general public. So you literally have the elite splitting off, curtailing technological development and industrial development for the rest of us, while hoarding it to themselves and accelerating those technologies so that they can even expand their technological dominance over us. So this is the information. And I saw a London Guardian report last night where they came out and said a powerful consortium of elites now want weather modification to save the Earth from global warming. That itself is a cover for weather weapons, and that's admitted. And it's a cover for all the geoengineering that's already going on. In fact, I forgot to print that geoengineering report last night. I actually did print it, and then it was gone off my desk this morning when I came in. Here it is. Now, that's another report. Women are more likely to accept climate science than men. I'll try to dig that out of my stack coming up. Basically, the headline dealt with powerful consortium, you know, moving for global climate control. So these people want to play God and run every facet of our lives, and they want to wall us off from technological development while they basically ascend with these systems. And at the end of the day, they want massive forced population reduction, so we won't even have a stake in the future. Lord Christopher Monckton III, Viscount of Monckton and Brenchley, worked as press officer for the Conservative Central Office. I was also one of the chief advisors to Margaret Thatcher. Has written and been managing editor for the Sunday Telegraph magazine. The list just goes on and on. He's also an inventor, and he has really been the chief main focal point. If you had to say there was a general out there fighting the eugenicist, fighting the control freaks that want to set up a carbon tyranny, it's Lord Christopher Monckton. And so much has happened in the last few months. They've admitted ClimateGate was real now. They've admitted the IPCC report was a complete fraud. Their own authors have come out and said that. They've admitted that the Earth is actually cooling. That they, I mean, word for word, everything Monckton has documented at his website, all the research papers he's written, he's been vindicated completely in spades. I mean, he couldn't be more vindicated. But meanwhile, they're not backing off. They're saying, we're going to change the nomenclature. We're going to launch massive geoengineering to save you from global warming. They're saying that they do want to arrest people that are climate deniers. They are running TV ads with children saying, I'm putting you on notice. You're my parents. You know, we're taking the gloves off. Al Gore is giving more speeches to children saying, tell your parents what to do. The public schools everywhere in this country, and I know in England, are still brainwashing the children saying we're all dead. It doesn't matter if islands all over the Pacific are actually getting bigger and many sea level readings are going down. They don't care. They don't care. They're going forward with all of this. And now I have the headline, Obama's science advisor says, don't call it global warming. Call it our deteriorating climate, our deteriorating atmosphere. And we need to stabilize the climate, meaning if there's ever any type of cold temperatures, hot temperatures, that's abnormal. The Earth should be basically 76 degrees year round. And they're also moving into saying that all the animals are becoming extinct. So that'll be their new way to steal people's property. So we've basically routed them intellectually, but they're dug in and they're not stopping. And I turn the radio on. All I hear is buy our car, it's green. Buy this house, it's green. Germany's passing laws that by 2020, all single dwelling homes will be illegal. You've got to live in dormitories with others. I mean, they're not stopping. And so Lord Christopher Monckton is our guest. Lord Monckton, good to have you on.
Well, Alex, it's great to be with you once again, and what a formidable list you've just given of the antics of the global warming extremists worldwide. They are yet again trying to cause trouble by maintaining or flogging this dead horse, trying to maintain the scare, which now everybody knows is no longer real. There's been no significant global warming for the last decade. Now, even the University of East Anglia, where I'm going to visit in a couple of months' time, is admitting that. They've now said, yep, we actually haven't had the warming we expected to see. Well, no, they haven't, because CO2 is only a bit part player in the climate. I've just come back from a very interesting conference at Erice in Sicily of the World Federation of Scientists. These are 250 of the world's top scientists looking into planetary emergencies. They have an annual session once a year on a mountaintop overlooking the ocean. And there I was with these scientists, and I gave them a presentation showing my own calculations, which indicated that we don't have a problem with the climate. Yes, we can generally expect it maybe to get a little warmer, but not enough to worry about. And what was interesting was that three other scientists there gave similar presentations, coming from completely different directions and all concluding that if we double the CO2 in the atmosphere, maybe we'll see 1 Celsius degree or 2 Fahrenheit degrees of warming this century. That is all. Is that to worry about? No, of course it isn't. And you mentioned geoengineering. Well, what is the point of doing geoengineering unless you know which direction to geoengineer in? You have to get the science right before you start messing about with the planet in that way. And you may remember that 30 years ago, when everybody was talking about global cooling, and we were told by the usual suspects, the same usual suspects that are now telling us about global warming, that global cooling was the big problem, they were proposing to put carbon dust, soot, all over Siberia and all over the Arctic and Greenland so as to darken the ground and allow more sunlight to come in, melt a bit more ice, and keep us a bit warmer. And thank goodness they didn't do that, because now they're saying, well, what we need to do is the opposite. Geoengineering, we need to have great silver umbrellas up in space. We need to be seeding the atmosphere with particles that will reflect the light, such as sulfur dioxide, which until recently they've been taking out of the atmosphere. And so round and around it goes, with scientific institutions and universities and politicians getting enormous grants from taxpayers, whether the taxpayers like it or not, to to fund ever more absurd projects, and all as the science behind the scare terminally collapses.
Lord Monckton, that was my next point. Is Bill Gates has patented literally dozens of these. He's seeking funds for anti-hurricane machines, for global aluminum dioxide barium spraying campaigns. They admit they've been testing this for decades, and one fellow back in the early 90s won a Nobel Prize for it. But as you said, they have no idea, because of the complex weather interactions, of whether it's going to heat up or cool off. As you know, the UN last year at Copenhagen had a declaration that the sun doesn't affect climate because, you know, they have to deny that so they can then play God here. But, I mean, isn't this also just a giant boondoggle where they demand billions of dollars to save us by controlling our climate when they admit they might be able to manipulate it from time to time, but overall they have no idea what they're doing in the aggregate?
They haven't got a clue what they're doing. We've known since 1963 that trying to predict what the climate's going to do next for more than a few weeks out is impossible by any method. It's mathematically proven that you can't do it. And yet here are these nincompoops trying to tell us that they can tell us exactly what's going to happen to the climate if we do what we're doing at the moment, which is getting on with our lives and burning fossil fuels and generating CO2. And then they say, but of course, if they do they would like us to pay for, then it's all going to change and they can predict this. Well, no, they can't. It's been long established that they can't make that kind of prediction.
But Lord Monckton, let's cut to the chase on that one issue of carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done studies where they can tell crowds the scientific name of water, dihydrogen monoxide, and over 90% will sign a form, including educated people, saying ban water, it's a toxic waste. The same thing with the scientific name for table salt. Most people will sign a form saying ban it if they're given the scientific name. People confuse carbon dioxide with a dangerous gas, carbon monoxide, but from the basic confirmed research that I've seen from the mud flats and the ice caps and the studies, carbon dioxide has been as much as 14 times higher than it is now, and all of the control studies they've done show that plants grow better, live longer, higher crop yields, that then animals put off more carbon dioxide for the plants, they give us more oxygen, and that the Earth is really in this geological and climatic phase in an oxygen and carbon dioxide starved state, and that carbon dioxide is actually good for life.
That is completely correct in all respects. In fact, if you go back to the Jurassic era, 175 million years ago, you're too young, Alex, but those of us who were around at the time remember it well. And at that time, there was, as you say, 14, 15, 16 times as much CO2 in the atmosphere as there is today, and yet here we all are. Go back a little further to the Cambrian era, 550 million years ago, and at that time, there was 20 times as much carbon dioxide as there is today. Go back another couple of hundred million years to the Neoproterozoic era in the early Precambrian, and at that time, get this, there was 773 times as much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere as there is today. About a third of the atmosphere at that time was carbon dioxide, and yet here we all are. The oceans did not acidify and melt all the creatures. All of this bedwetting about how the world is going to come to an end because we have changed over the last 260 years the atmospheric composition by 0.01%. And that's the entire change that we've made by adding carbon dioxide to it. We've added the equivalent of 0.01% of the atmosphere in the form of carbon dioxide. This is simply not enough to cause a major change in the Earth's temperature. And the big question in climate science is how much of a change can this very, very small increase in carbon dioxide concentration actually cause? And all the researchers, like those ones at the conference in Erice of the World Federation of Scientists, who do this by measurement and observation, conclude that if you double the CO2 concentration, then you get an increase in temperature of around 2 Fahrenheit. Perfectly harmless, generally beneficial. And the other thing is, as you rightly said, CO2 increases crop yield. In fact, if we double the CO2 compared with today, the yields of most staple crops would increase by up to 40%. and they will be able to grow crops in areas that are now too dry. The fact is that, as Professor Will Happer of Princeton University said in testimony in front of Congress just a few months ago, we are starved of CO2 at the moment. Plants would like to get a whole lot more of it if they could. And one of the things we can observe from space with satellites is that the net primary productivity of plants, which is very much a function of their ability to photosynthesize, and of course CO2 is an essential ingredient in photosynthesis, net primary productivity of plants is already visibly rising. This is a very good thing. That is the most direct way of greening the earth, and those who really believe in making the earth green would want a whole lot more carbon dioxide and not a whole lot less.
So if we were going to have geoengineering, and we do have this observable fact dealing with carbon dioxide, then the plants create more oxygen, then we would actually have giant factories terraforming, geoengineering, putting out more carbon dioxide.
You'd get, the plants, of course, take in carbon dioxide.
Oxygen.
If we put it out, they take it in. That makes the plants grow more. The more coal-fired power stations China opens up, and it's planning to open up one or two coal-fired power stations every week between now and the year 2030. And they know they've got to do this to get their people out of poverty and hence stabilize their population. That's what they're going to do. The Chinese ambassador to Italy and his scientific and technical counselor came from Rome to Sicily to attend our conference on planetary emergencies. The scientific counselor sat in on my presentation, and afterwards he said, look, I want full details of what you have just shown us, because you've shown that the IPCC, the official body looking at the UN at this science, has been bending the data and getting its sums wrong and fudging things and producing false graphs. And he said, your own calculations, which seem very straightforward, are clearly demonstrating that we don't have a problem. He said, this has a major implication for China. We really, really need to see this. And so I sent him the background materials for my talk, etc. And there's no doubt that China has got the point. In Copenhagen last year, I got in to the last day of the conference. I was one of the very few observers who were let in. 30,000 observers were registered to be let in. Only a dozen actually got in. I was one of them. And I watched when Jiabao, who is the Chinese president of the State Council of China, kind of Chinese prime minister, if you like, and he had spent 55 minutes with President Obama bullying him, trying to persuade him that what he should do is to shut China's economy down in the name of saving the planet. And Wen Jiabao came straight out onto the stage and he said, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to put China's economic growth and lifting my people out of poverty in any way at risk. If you in the West want to put your economies at risk, send your business to us so that we do your manufactures, we'll happily take the business on. But don't tell us we can't do it, what you've already done. And he was very firm and very clear about it. However, watch this, Alex. You may have noticed that very quietly, but very definitely in the last 6 months, both in Britain and in the United States, official statements were made at the highest level. President Obama there, our Foreign Secretary here, for the first time explicitly recognizing China's occupation of Tibet. And what I think may be going on is that behind the scenes, they may have persuaded China to keep her powder dry until Cancun and then to agree to go along with the so-called process by which we establish the world government of which you and I have often talked, the unelected U.S.
That was my next point, is that China had said no to the Copenhagen, and then suddenly they've been finding factories, they've been saying they may demolish factories, they're saying they may start trying to implement carbon taxes there in their economy, so we're seeing a shift.
Yes, and I think it's exactly the same as what was done with Russia, because, as you know, in 2004, the Russian Academy of Sciences looked at all this nonsense, and Dr. Ilarionov, who is the chairman of the, who was then the chairman of the Russian Academy of Sciences, made a great speech after hearing Sir David King and other worthies from Britain telling him how terrible global warming was, saying it was quite clear that none of these people knew any science at all. The whole thing was nonsense, and Russia would not be playing any part in this nonsense. And David King flounced out in a huff and came back to the UK and was promptly sacked. But what then happened is Tony Blair had a meeting with Gasputin, and he said, look, if you would like to join the World Trade Organization on favorable terms, then all you have to do is at least say that you believe in this global warming stuff, even if, in fact, you carry on digging up your methane gas and piping it to Europe, all the other things you want to do. But if you at least say you believe that global warming is going to be terrible, then we'll let you join the World Trade Organization. And that is exactly what happened. Within 6 months, Ilarionov was gone from the world, from the Academy of Sciences, because he wasn't prepared to change his tune, and Putin appointed somebody else more agreeable to the new political reality. And I think they've done exactly the same with China. I think they've quietly agreed behind the scenes that they would go public, Britain and America, and say to China, okay, we acknowledge publicly that Tibet belongs to China. Well, of course, it doesn't. It belongs to the people of Tibet. But don't try telling that to our government or yours, because they don't care about the people of Tibet anymore. They care about playing politics. And I'll tell you why they're doing it. I'll tell you why they're going to these drastic lengths to kick human rights in the teeth, to kick the people of Tibet in the teeth, to kick the people of Russia in the teeth. Why are they doing this? Because they know by now that they've got it wrong on the science. They all panicked and galloped off in the same direction because it meant more taxes, more regulation, more powers by politicians to save us from ourselves at our own expense. That's what they were doing, and they now know that they got it wrong, and they know that their only hope of it not becoming blindingly obvious to everyone that they got it wrong, the entire governing class of the world got it wrong, is actually to put in the measures that they want to put in to shut the world's economy, particularly the West economies, down. Of course, ultimately, this is the real objective, it's to shut down the economies of the West. And then, when the warming that they had predicted doesn't happen, because by now they know perfectly well it isn't going to happen, regardless of whether we burn lots of CO2 or not, then they will say, there you are, our measures worked, we had it right all along. That's the game they're playing now. It's a strategy of complete desperation. They know they've got it wrong. They know they're beginning to be found out. The ClimateGate emails, the endless revelations from the IPCC, these failed reports where they made huge errors, sometimes deliberate, and refused for years to correct them until it became impossible to hold the line anymore. All of these things have embarrassed world governments hugely, because governments don't ever like to admit that they got something wrong. And when they have all bet the farm on this global warming thing as strongly as they have, you can see how very, very difficult it has become for any of them to back off from their positions. Now, of course, the environmental extremists, you know, the people like Greenpeace, they're not going to back off because they depend absolutely on global warming being acknowledged as real for about three-quarters of their funding.
Well, Christopher, hold on just a second. We're going to break in a moment. I want to get into your deep research on their latest stratagem to bring this deception forward, and from your deep research, really quantify who the leadership of these people are and what their world population reduction end game is in this new scientific tyranny where they suppress our development but then allow their select corporations and government groups to move forward. The website is scienceandpublicpolicy.org, scienceandpublicpolicy.org. Literally everything he said in the last decade has now been admitted, exactly as he said it. I mean, it's devastating that they're, okay, we did fake the Himalayas melting. We did lie about the rainforest. We did lie about the polar bears. We did premeditatedly lie about, you know, CO2 causing all this warming. I mean, it's incredible, but we've got about 2 minutes till break. Briefly, we've got all these IPCC authors coming out saying it's a fraud. We've got Pachauri admitting all this stuff. Can you just briefly recap their total implosion of credibility that's happened in the last 2 months?
Well, here's a very nice little example of it. Pachauri was due to come to a conference that I attended in southern India just a few days ago. And I was speaking at the conference, as was Professor Fred Singer. And when Pachauri heard that we were going to be there, as well as the usual suspects saying it was all going to be terrible, he refused to come because he knows that as a railroad engineer, he is totally incapable of maintaining an argument on climate. He knows, he just doesn't know enough about it. But the other thing was that his so-called bogus charity, TERI, which operates out of India and also has a subdivision in London, that had agreed to put ₹1 million of funding into the conference, organized as it was by a religious foundation. 3 days before the conference began, Terry pulled out its funding on Pachauri's instructions, saying that they were unhappy that skeptics such as Singer and Monckton were being allowed to have their say at this conference. Now, that is going to get them in trouble with the charity commissions, not only in India, but also in London, where they have already been caught out filing bogus accounts for 3 years, grossly under-declaring...
Well, Lord Monckton, isn't that a form of bribery to tell conferences, we won't give you the money if you have people critical of us at the event?
It is entirely against the charity law, as well as being a form of bribery, and Pachauri ought to go to jail for it, but of course these people, as they know now, they're untouchable.
Lord Monckton, I'm not trying to pour gravy over you, but you really do deserve it, and you're a model of stick-to-itness for more than a decade, in their face, being criticized, being attacked, them calling for your arrest in major newspapers as a climate denier, and everything confirmed, and now you're at the most prestigious scientific forums in the world, and they're agreeing with you. You're meeting with the top science advisor to the Chinese government, waking them up. I mean, the point is, when we do take the field against oppression and tyranny and lies and neo-serfdom, we are able to defeat it. And just your spirit of resistance is a great example to us all. So I want to thank you for my family and for my listeners for your tireless efforts. I know you crisscross the planet at your own expense fighting these people.
Well, that's very, very kind of you. Not a word of that is really deserved, but it's much appreciated nonetheless. And the thing is that you may remember that a few months ago you were talking about how I get attacked a lot. Yes, they're at this all the time now. They've realized I'm dangerous to them. And so they're now trying to take me apart, first of all, personally, and endless, rather poisonous accusations being made. And now, at last, they're beginning to say, well, let's see if we can attack him scientifically. Do you remember that character, Professor Abraham from Minnesota?
Yes.
Who spent 8 months preparing an 83-minute diatribe, calling me everything from a fraud to a trickster to people, somebody who made up data, who fabricated data, who misrepresented scientist work, etc., etc. Over and over again, he libeled me. Well, this insignificant character, wholly unworthy to be even the minor associate professor that he is in a two-bit Catholic Bible college in Minnesota, he has now had to back off completely because I produced an 84-page letter refuting every lie that he had put out in his horrible broadcast. And you can still get his horrible broadcast, but nobody now takes it seriously. They have now had to back off into a corner and accept that nobody now takes them seriously as an academic institution at all. So they have now backed off into a corner. They're licking their wounds. They're waiting imminently for the libel writ from me, which will finally put them and their associate professor out of business. But they have now really had to accept that he lied. They've had to accept that he lied repeatedly. They've had to accept that he and they had a fair chance to have this put right, and they failed to do so when I gave them the chance to do so privately. So now they're treated to gales of laughter all around the world as people read this very detailed, point-by-point, scientific refutation that I have given of this so-called joke professor, this cardboard professor's ridiculous attempt at a scientific attack on me. The guy isn't even a climate scientist. He's a professor of heat transfer or some such thing.
Well, he's not being invited, which they never do. He's not being invited like you to the World Federation of Scientists. Now expanding on this, though,
yeah.
What are their counterstrikes? Because they're still going forward with their climate cult. They're still brainwashing the children in public and private schools worldwide. They're still going ahead. The EPA says they're implementing the carbon taxes by hook or by crook. How are they counterstriking? And B, how do we defeat them?
Right. I think what is happening is that the Republican Party, which as recently as 2 years ago was saying to me, well, of course, we can't argue with them on the science, but on the economics, what they say makes no sense. They have now realized that the science is wrong. I have testified several times in front of Congress many other researchers and scientists who are skeptical of the extremists' claims have also testified there, and it has become quite apparent that the Democrats simply want to believe in this global warming stuff, not because it's true, but because it's politically expedient and financially profitable. That's what it's all about. They don't care what the scientific truth is, but the Republicans now do. They are now looking very, very hard at the science. And here, if the IPCC and railroad engineer Pachauri, its chairman, is listening, is what's going to happen next. At the midterm elections in November, and it's not for me to tell you which way to vote, but you know what I'm thinking, it is very likely that the Republicans are going to recapture the House, and they will come closer to recapturing the Senate, though my guess is they won't quite make that. Now, when they do recapture the House, there will no longer be any serious opposition to the idea that cap and trade is dead. And the Senate won't pass a cap-and-trade bill, the House won't pass one, that is not going to happen. What will happen instead is that the Murkowski resolution in the Senate that would have extinguished the EPA's right to trample around issuing huge taxes in the name of saving the planet, that will be brought forward again. This time it will carry, and then, of course, it can still be vetoed by the President, but then let him veto it, and let him veto it over and over and over again. That's what they're going to do, because every time he personally vetoes it, then he is making the EPA's actions his own, and the electorate will not thank him for it. Those candidates who have spoken out so far in the election, in the primaries, against this global warming nonsense have done far better than the true believers who pretend to go on believing it. So gradually the politicians are saying, we're not playing. Now, if America doesn't play, if America doesn't go for cap and tax, and it's now looking clearer that it won't, you know, subject only to the Democrats trying to do something cheesy during the lame duck session, the kind of thing that Senator Kerry has already been saying they're going to try to do. Well, they may try to do that, but if they do, once again, the electorate will take note. And Obama will find that when he faces election again in another 2 years' time, he will be out on his ear big time if the U.S. Democrats try to play that kind of game during the lame duck session, force legislation through on the votes of senators and congressmen who have already lost their seats and therefore have nothing to lose by creating maximal damage to the nation they had sworn an oath to serve. That's what they'll try to do. But they will be forestalled. If they're not forestalled, that's the end of Obama's chance of re-election. If they are forestalled, that's the end of the process of trying to get a world government in place.
But it's up to individuals at their counties, cities, and states to rout these people out. Because even though it's been exposed internationally, nationally by yourself and others, and even though more and more of their program is in trouble, they are accelerating it in a sneaky way at the local level with their brainwashing, their local carbon taxes, environmental taxes, and that's up to all of us individually to go to the school boards, to go to the city council meetings, and to present all of the admissions now that this is a fraud and all of the admissions that it'll cause massive third world starvation and death, and explain that this is really a eugenics move for world population reduction. And Lord Monckton, I want to get to that, but first I wanted to play a video clip from a few years ago put out by Greenpeace, financed by these big foundations, because now they're issuing more videos like this, and Bill Gates, who's funding global warming propaganda, is saying, yes, we're going to have death panels, get rid of grandma so that we can hire 10 teachers. So we're more and more seeing that the eugenics crowd, the euthanasia crowd, the environmental crowd, this is all one big group. And I wanted to get your statement on the fact that the New York Times is now coming out telling children in New York Times published workbooks, tattle on your parents, report on them, tell them they shouldn't take a hot bath or shouldn't run the water when they brush their teeth, mirroring what Prince Charles has been saying about don't take a bath, you know, take a shower. I mean, it's so insane. So I wanted to play this chilling clip of this youth sternly telling his parents and adults that we're coming after you. And again, this mirrors all the new press reports of the world's too stupid to accept carbon taxes. We've got to become authoritarian and force this through for the good of the earth. They're now becoming nakedly authoritarian. They're not just calling for your arrest. They're basically innuating or getting at, I'm inventing words here. They're basically saying we may get violent with you now. Here's that clip.
The scientific community released a report that proves beyond a doubt that the earth is getting warmer. This global warming is caused by things you grown-ups do and by the things you don't. If drastic measures aren't taken soon, by the time I grow up, there won't be any fish left in the sea. Rainforests and clean air will be a thing of the past. The polar ice caps will be gone. Oceans will rise. Entire countries will disappear. Life will change in ways you can't even imagine. There could be famine, worldwide epidemics. Life expectancy will be lower. And we're not just talking about the future. We're talking about my future. But this is no surprise. You adults have known about this for years. And though you could have done something about it, you haven't. You can say, it's not my problem. You can say, I won't be around in 50 years. But from now on, you can't say I didn't know. Starting today, the lines are drawn. You have to choose sides. Either you're for my future, or you're against it. You're a friend, or you're an enemy. I may just be a kid today, but tomorrow will be different. This is the last time I'll be talking to you adults. You've had your chance to fix this problem. Now we have ours. We won't be cute. We won't be patronized, and we will not be denied our future.
Join the energy revolution, Greenpeace. So this is literally the equivalent of Maoist youth brigades jogging down the street with their red flags.
And if you see the face of this child, which is a malevolent, bitter, unwashed face,
yes,
you can see what thoroughly nasty, indeed Nazi, propaganda this is. The Greenpeace now is no better than the Nazi movement, and they're behaving in exactly the same way, using very, very similar propaganda techniques. It's an extremely worrying trend. In Europe, you may be interested to know, they're planning to set up an environmental criminal court. And the aim of that environmental criminal court will be that anyone who dares to say, like you or me, that global warming has been oversold and is going to happen, but not as much as the official documents say, can be arrested using the European arrest warrant, which has already seen 3,000 British citizens taken without evidence from their beds at 3 in the morning and deported to various European countries by the European dictatorship. You know, we are already a police state. It's already happening to us. And this environmental criminal court is about to be set up, and that too will have the powers to issue arrest warrants against British citizens without evidence under the European arrest warrant procedure. That's what is happening here, and the UN is working on similar structures internationally so that anyone who in future goes on convincing people scientifically that this is nonsense, using scientific arguments and facts and data, and as you've rightly said, being proven right time and again when the true believers in the new religion of global warming are proven wrong, people like us can, and not very long from now, unless we really fight this, will be arrested, locked up, and if James Hansen gets his way, killed for what he calls high crimes against humanity, for which the penalty is death. He has been calling, in effect, for the death penalty for those who dare to disagree with him on global warming. That is how serious this is. We are dealing with people who, in their increasing desperation, can no longer rely upon argument because their case has never been based on it. Instead, they can only rely on force. And it's force that they're now using increasingly to try to kick people into line. That's what the EPA is doing. That's what Obama wants to do. So far, the only real obstacle worldwide to this new dictatorship, and it is a Nazi dictatorship, it's just as nasty as that, it's the same techniques, it's the same arbitrary arrest.
Well, Hitler was an environmentalist.
He was indeed. But he was therefore perfectly willing. He was perfectly willing to issue such arrest warrants. And I'm quite sure that once this European Environmental Criminal Court gets going, and I know there have been talks at the highly secretive European Commissariat, the commissars who decide our future now and make all our laws, our parliament is just a rubber stamp. It has no independent powers. These things are all decided by unelected commissars in Europe. They all wish to extend their powers and influence over us.
Lord Monckton, I want listeners, especially new ones, to understand, we're not joking around about this. They're openly saying they want to arrest us. They want to send people to prison for the tiniest of environmental crimes. This is their tyranny. And we were talking during the break. You talked about how they tried to prosecute and use the terrorism unit for whoever leaked the East Anglia emails, proving they knew it was a fraud.
Yes, the university called in the police, and the police sent in not an ordinary investigating unit, you know, the IT unit or something like that. They sent in the domestic terrorism unit of a serious organized crime agency. Because now, in Britain, anyone who dares to say or do anything that questions global warming, even on the soundest of scientific bases, is regarded as a terrorist, a threat to the state, and somebody who should be locked up. And the only reason they haven't locked us up yet is that they know they aren't yet quite far enough in control of this subject to get away with it. They know that if this goes anywhere near a court of law, and it would still have to, for the moment anyway, then they would have to produce evidence, and of course we could then produce the evidence showing by measurement and observation that global warming is not going to be a global crisis. The moment a court hears that evidence, it's going to say, how can you possibly accuse people who are producing serious scientific evidence like this of being terrorists?
But let's stop right there. Let's stop there briefly because we're almost out of time. I mean, if you had to simply in 1 minute state free humanity's position and the position of these tyrants, I mean, how much trouble are they in?
They are very close to losing it in every way. They've lost the argument. They've lost the public. They've lost the debate. They've lost the United States. I think they've still lost China, notwithstanding the concession on Tibet, which I'm quite sure was connected with climate change. And it is a disgrace. They've lost all these things. And in their growing desperation, they are thrashing around and lashing out in all directions. But that is what a dying beast does. And we may perhaps be, if not months, perhaps years away from seeing this beast finally die, and this will do the international extremist left great harm. They should not have backed the wrong horse on this one. They should have got off long ago, but they stayed with it, and now they're about to come last in the race. And once again, there is still the chance that we can keep the world free and democratic. And the main reason why is that your Congress and your Constitution stands, whether Obama likes it or not, whether anybody else likes it or not, in the way of anyone who dares to take not only your freedoms as Americans, but our freedoms in the rest of the world away.